from the studios of WAER.
And he's standing up into the goal line. Touchdown, Syracuse.
Battle gets a screen, pull up, he's good. Tyus Battle from 20 feet, and with 2.5 on the clock, Syracuse leads by one.
Long outlet pass, Ryan Simmons inside. He scores the game winner. Give the assist to Don Madonna. Syracuse wins 11-10.
Comes the Ostrom Avenue podcast.
To Boeheim, quick trigger three from the top. He knocks it down, and we're tied at Spectrum Center.
15 left. He shoots and scores. Tucker Dordovic.
Perhaps the biggest upset in program history comes on Friday the 13th.
And now, your hosts, Brendan Mortensen and Owen Valentine.
After a brief hiatus, the Ostrom Avenue podcast is back. I'm Brendan Mortensen alongside Owen Valentine. We're joined by special guest Jonathan Hoppe, who we've finally found a way to get on the show after weeks of trying, but we got you on for a good week. You were on the call for Wake Forest, on the call for the Iowa game last night. We've got lots to discuss, but let's start on the bright side with Syracuse football. They pick up a 39-30 victory over Wake, that awesome Tre Williams play to end the game. At least it's a nice way to end the season, right?
It's yeah. I said it's like putting a Band-Aid on the Hoover Dam. You're not really fixing the problem, but it kind of puts you over for a little bit of time, and it can keep a positive note until next season. Obviously, the season as a whole wasn't what fans expected, but this was a nice game. They pretty much played a complete game, and it ended up just being a little bit of a smile to wrap off and to be able to have those seniors walk off on.
Well, First off, hey guys.
Hey, Jonathan.
Thanks for having me. I've actually been on this show before. It was
a while ago.
I think
was
last
it week
month.
One?
Oh, no, it wasn't last month. I think it was.
It was
it
a
week
while
one after
ago.
Liberty?
Yep.
Yes, it was the defensive ends talk.
Oh, right. And I came in telling you how good the D-line was, and that quickly exploded. You're right. I'd say that's a pretty good comp, Owen. I think this was a good win, and it does put that Band-Aid on. I think it may be... It lasts a while, though, because it's the last game of the season, and you send those seniors out on a high, and you send that message to recruits, hey, we didn't lay down. That's what I love about this team.
Yeah.
Sure, they won five games. They could have won three, and it looked like they were going to win three. And I know Duke's a bad team, but they beat them, and then they came home, and they beat a very good Wake team no matter who they were missing. So they finished strong, and that's not something we saw in the first 2 years under Babers.
And I think there's a lot of good things to take away from this game looking into next season. I mean, Mykel Jones was second on the team in tackles with 10. Obviously, the secondary, Andre Sisco, Ife Melifonwu, Tre Williams, they all looked fantastic in this game. Andre Sisco just has a way of finding the football. I think there's a lot of things you can take away from this game where even if the season as a whole was disappointing, five games isn't what I don't think anybody expected this to be a five-win football team, but
I'd say that's an accurate statement.
But
you're
there
going
are
out
some
on a
positives.
Limb, though. Be I careful, know. It might break.
And you left out Tristan Jackson, hits the 1,000 yards receiving, so
right.
Sixth player all time to do that for Syracuse, first junior to ever do it. That's a big milestone for him to cross, and once again, it's a silver lining on a terrible season, but. You said that, Hoppy, and that was one of the perspectives that was always kind of lingering in my head, but I never really came around to it. This team did fight, and as much as they struggled, and they struggled, and they struggled, especially in that mid-season stretch, they did continue to fight. They never caved in. They never gave up, and that is something that Dino Babers can parlay into something that could be beneficial for his recruiting, and that's what he said in his post-game press conference. Right after this game, it's time to start recruiting.
They've got to. They got to go out on those recruiting trails, hit their base down in Florida, see if they can find that Andre Sisco 3-4 star that doesn't get looks from all the big schools, stuff like that. That's what this program needs. What they really need, though, is they need a healthy Tommy DeVito, and they need him next year, and they need an offensive line that can protect him from the jump, and I think they're going to have it because Patrick Davis, Dakota Davis, two pretty good guards. You get Carlos Federello back. You get Aaron Service back and Matthew Bergeron. So you got four or five starters from that Wake game back, and then Patrick Davis, a reserve that has played a good amount of time. That, to me, is where it stops and ends with the offensive line. And we just want to flash back for a second. ACC kickoff before the year. Tim Leonard and myself were down there. Hopes were high, as everyone knows,
definitely.
To quote Panic at the Disco. Hopes were very high. But Dino Baber says, our O-line stinks, is essentially what he said. And it stunk for the first half of the year, and they built themselves a hole they couldn't get out of.
That's definitely the case, and it was something that I think even when he said that, people didn't really take it at face value.
Of course not.
And you just kind of assume, all right, he's going to be hard. He's going to stay humble. This is a good team. It's that 10-win team coming back. They've got so many parts returning. They don't. They didn't have that O-line. And I also think that's something that they could definitely find in a transfer portal, is a grad student to come in and maybe find his way into the O-line. I don't know if a junior college player is going to be able to make that jump immediately. But the biggest thing with an O-line is experience. And now they've struggled. They struggled. I think they have found maybe a little bit of a stream, and they're going to be able to flow a little bit and figure some stuff out, and they're going to be able to take that into next season. Are they going to be an incredible O-line next year? I don't think so. But they've got the pieces that can allow for that to happen. They can bring in a younger guy. They can allow the younger O-linemen to really figure things out. They're not going to have to throw freshmen right into the mixer, because it is extremely rare to see a true freshman come in and be starting on the O-line, especially when you're getting the type of recruits that Syracuse is at the O-line. So to be able to take that and be able to get some experience and now look out to try and find a grad transfer or someone else to come in and help boost that, whether it's a reserve guy, whether he's going to be in that starting lineup, I'm not sure. But it's something that Syracuse is going to be able to build off of, and something that they will be able to improve on next season.
It definitely starts in the trenches. I mean, you've got the offensive line needs to get better. I think one of the things that was overlooked this year, too, is the offensive line was definitely better last year, but you had a quarterback that could make up for those mistakes a lot more than Tommy DeVito. That's nothing against Tommy DeVito. He's just not the same kind of quarterback that Eric Dungy is. And on the defensive line, too, you've got returners like Josh Black, like Brandon Berry, like guys like that who are going to contribute in a big way next year. So putting a bow on the season, way too early next expectations for next year.
Oh wow. Brent,
what are we thinking?
That's an ask. I'm not quite
well,
sure.
You wait.
You can start.
I think it's a pretty obvious answer. Expectations to get back to a bowl game. And
that
should have been the expectation this year, was to get to back-to-back bowls. Something that has only happened, I think, once in the 21st century for Syracuse football. May be mistaken there. That should be the goal. To get that first year of a bowl, and then the next year under Babers, get back to it. That needs to be the standard for this program. 10 wins in back-to-back seasons probably was never going to happen.
No.
Because it so rarely happens in the history of this program. It's only happened a handful of times. But you know how this town gets. When things get going, people hop on that train, and for some reason, everyone thought it was going to. All right, it didn't. Now how do they respond? 6-plus wins, to me, is a success for Dino Babers next year.
I agree. I think 6-6 is extremely feasible. I think 7-5 is extremely feasible. It's not going to be much better than that. It's not going to be much worse than that. I think plus or minus one on that 6-win margin is right where I see them. I don't know if they're going to be able to jump much further up. I don't think they're going to struggle as much as they did this season. They've got to fill some holes in that defense. Besides the secondary, they do lose a handful of pieces, so that's going to be something to keep an eye out for. But I do think they're going to be able to elevate. They're going to be better than this 5-7 mark, whether it's 6-6, 7-5. I'm not sure. I do think that they are going to be a bowl-caliber team next season.
And if they're not, that's when you start to ask some questions.
Correct.
If this team doesn't make a bowl next year, you start to think, okay, what's not working? Because Dino Babers, as so many people have said, if not him, then who?
Mm-hmm.
He's proven to be a recruiter somewhat. And I say that because they're still bottom half of the league, and it's probably going to stay that way for quite some time. That's just the situation it is. But he's proven to recruit to where he needs, what his strengths are, what he wants to do offensively, and he's a motivator, all the above. So if not him, then who?
I think, can we all say we're on the same page that it's no time to be calling for Dino Babers' head right now?
Oh, no.
No.
Because I hear some rumblings.
In fact, I was hoping we didn't even address that portion of the fan base on this show.
I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page. Max and I talked about it after the game. Max Chadwick and myself were talking after the game about this. It's no time to panic.
No,
not at all.
I think we all figured out that this team was not what a lot of people expected, what most people expected.
What no
and that's
one expected.
Okay. That
it
is okay.
It wasn't just local media.
No.
It wasn't Joe Schmo in Baldwinsville. It was the USA Today. It was The Athletic. It was every big publication. I've said this before on these airwaves. I'll say it again. Well, I guess this is a podcast, so it's a new platform. This was one of the biggest preseason prediction flops in college football history.
Yeah.
A top 25 team, one that many projected. It was almost a hot take if you didn't have them in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Finishes right. The season with 5 wins and very lackluster at that. This was a huge flop, not only here in Syracuse, around the country. Everyone bought what this team sold, and man, they're paying the price now.
And we say it, the FanDuel line that started off the season was 5.5 for
and
the over-under.
And people scoffed at that.
And that was the most outrageous line ever. I was saying it. Everyone who I saw was saying it. And they were right. They were right. That was the perfect line.
Everybody bought 5.5. Everyone was over 5.5.
And the line didn't last.
Not one single prediction out there that I've seen had Syracuse at less than 5 wins, at less than 6 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, if you had 7-5, it was like, whoa, whoa, slow down there. But as we know, those people look pretty smart.
Yeah.
Not that smart, though, because they were still a couple of wins off,
yeah,
just a
right.
few less than most of us were.
That's why you play the season.
I think this season is a big reality check. I think somewhere 6, 7, 8 wins for next year, like you guys were saying, is much more feasible for this team. I don't think it's a 10-win team every year. That can't be the expectation. I think somewhere in the 6, 7, 8 range is a lot more feasible. And they cap off the season this year with a 39-30 victory over Wake Forest, some positive momentum to go into next season. So thank you to everybody that followed along with us for our football podcasts. That'll do it for crossover season. And now we're just left with this Syracuse basketball team.
Oh. I get to leave now, right?
Yeah.
This is the part where I go and you guys talk about basketball.
Let's right. keep you along for the ride.
Syracuse.
Okay, sorry. That was unclear.
Syracuse and Iowa with the Big Ten ACC Challenge last night. It was a 1-point game at halftime.
Yeah, that it was.
Hawkeyes were up by 1, 30-29. Game finishes a 14-point loss, 68-54. Hawkeyes win. Syracuse drops their third straight game, now 0-4 against the Power 5. It's the worst start in the history of the Jim Boeheim era. Worst 8-game start to a season since 1968. I mean, what happened?
So here's the good news. Oklahoma State, Penn State, Iowa, those are good teams.
Yeah. Oh, they're good
teams. They're solid
teams. Yep.
Here's the bad news. They're not great teams. They're middle-of-the-pack teams
right.
that Syracuse should at least be competing with.
They're fringe top 25 teams.
Right. And isn't SU supposed to be somewhere in that neighborhood?
Supposed to
somewhere
be.
Somewhere in the neighborhood. Well, they look like they're a few cities away
yeah.
from that. They look like they're way off the county line. I mean, they don't even look like they belong. And you think about it, too. Neutral court, all right, that's one thing. At home,
yeah,
to get flattened in the second half, nobody could make a shot. And some people are joking, is this even an NIT team? Well, slow down on that. First off, yes, it's an NIT team if they don't make the tournament. It's way too early to be talking about this, but of course that's all that we care about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Are they going to make the tournament or not? It's way too early.
Yeah.
But they're digging themselves quite the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the problem I have with them. Georgia Tech, a team that has given you fits in recent years.
Yeah.
A team that's honestly solid.
They're not bad.
They're not that bad. They're ineligible for the tournament this year. That's a whole nother podcast. But they're solid. And they have players that can shoot the three. They've got Banks down low, who's a really solid big man. They've got a couple of big guys that can cause some problems.
DeVoe leads the conference in scoring. He's averaging over 23 a game.
Instincts say that they're going to have some trouble in Atlanta. So if you lose that, that's 4 straight non-conference losses. And then you face a Georgetown team.
On the road.
On the road. Sure, they've lost half their roster, it seems, over the past week. But doesn't that make it even more of a pressure-packed situation?
Yeah, because
if you lose five games in a row, and it's Georgetown, it's over.
You lose five games in a row with that fifth loss to Georgetown. You drop to 4-6 with an extremely tough ACC schedule lingering on the docket. You've got four teams in the top 10 right now. You're going to be playing incredible competition game in and game out. And if you don't figure things out immediately, then there is going to be a huge, huge, huge disappointment of a season lingering ahead for Syracuse. Do I think that's going to necessarily happen? No. I think Syracuse will be able to figure things out. I think everyone was on that same page from day one that this is a team that needs time. A lot of youth, they need to be able to mature, they need to be able to learn the system, and they need to be able to learn how to play together. Did I think it would come a little bit more rapidly? Maybe. Did I think that at this point there would be some more positives? I think they should have won one of three in that stretch. Even if they win one of three, they're then sitting at what? 4-5? 5-5? What's the record at?
They'd be 5-3 if they won.
That's what I meant. They're four and four.
Math is hard.
They would be 5-3. I think you look at the start of this non-conference schedule. Do you want to be at 5-3? No, but 5-3 would have been acceptable. But now you sit at 4-4. 4-4 is where the questions start being asked. Is this still going to be a team that is competitive come tournament time? They're always on the bubble. I don't see any call for that to be different yet. They're going to get a couple of their key wins, and they're going to figure some of the stuff out, and it's going to be a Syracuse team that you've gotten used to seeing in the last half decade.
They can't score, and they can't get a rebound.
Those are two important things.
It's a bad combo.
Elijah Hughes, who's supposed to be sort of the savior this year, he's slowly becoming a volume shooter, and Coach Boeheim said as much last night that he thought Elijah was playing well at the end of the season or the start of the year.
Yeah,
he sort of tailed off, especially in that Penn State game and the Iowa game. When they've needed him most, he has not been there. Frankly, you can't blame him, though. There's so much weight on his shoulders.
He's the only option at
this point. Gerard and Boeheim can't shoot a three. Now, some more good news, because I know everyone's searching for it. Boeheim was way worse to start the year last year.
Yeah,
he stunk. He couldn't do anything.
But
at
he
least
was also,
now, he makes an occasional shot.
He was the sixth option last year.
Yeah. And he was terrible at it.
And now he's your number two.
So it probably hurts you more now than it did then.
Oh, way more now.
Gerard is shooting under 30% since Seattle.
Yeah.
That's the high school New York State all-time leading scorer who can't put the ball in the basket right now.
Under 30% since Seattle.
I think they'll figure that out. And that's something that you can kind of keep in the back pocket as, okay, here's the positive. They're going to be able to figure something out. One of them will be able to figure something out. Also, the good thing with Buddy Boeheim is he's not just the one-trick pony anymore. He's developed the shot fake. He can take a little bit of a dribble and shoot that longer two. He seems to be a little bit more comfortable with it. So even though last night he goes 1-for-5 from the field, he only went 2-for-10, so I guess this isn't my ideal explanation or my ideal example, but he's got a little bit more to offer, but they've got to figure some things out. Marek Dolezal was your leading scorer last night. And that's not a knock at Dolezal, but he's not your number one option. He's not your number two option, and he's not your number three option. This is a guy that stepped up because there was no one else doing anything, and that's something that is pretty alarming. You need to figure things out. Hughes needs to be able to score. It seems like he's kind of fallen into the iso ball type situation that you saw last year, where it was Frank Howard, where it was Tyus Battle, O'Shea Brissett that just wanted to hold the ball and throw up a three towards the end of the shot clock. It's not that bad with Hughes, but he's starting to break into that tendency that you saw so much last season.
I'm having deja vu to the football season. I think there's a glitch in the matrix because we sat here the beginning of the football season and went, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And that feels like exactly what we're doing right now. And we heard Dino Babers say over and over again, he was talking about the offensive line. He said, you know, this is a young offensive line. Give them 6-7 games to get it together. And we were sitting here saying, well, they don't have 6-7 games to get it together. It's a 12-game season. And now we've got, it's the same thing. We've got this young Syracuse basketball team. They've got a freshman starting point guard. They've got Buddy Boeheim, who's their number two option, who's just a sophomore. And their top two options off the bench are both freshmen. And we've got Jim Boeheim saying, you got to give them more time. They need just more games to play together. We're running out of time. You can't dig yourself this deep of a hole. And we had an episode during the football season about halfway through that said, is it time to press the panic button? And I think that's exactly what it's time for right now.
Okay, hold your horses. Hold your horses. Here's why. So if you want to compare football to basketball, football had astronomical expectations.
Right.
And they performed at an awful rate to start the year. Even though they shut out Liberty, it was still kind of shaky. That's the worst dominant performance I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The right. buzz after that game was sort of like, we didn't want to believe what we saw was a lackluster offense against a pretty poor Liberty team, and the defense got some timely turnovers and bailed out. And then they fell off a cliff. And then all hell broke loose, because that's not how this year was supposed to go.
Right.
So as football started to get worse, the community, the fans of both programs started to rally around basketball and somehow convince themselves that the team is better than it actually is. This team was never supposed to be that good. If you remember, coming into the year, people thought tournament would be okay. Making the tournament was about as optimistic as you could be. But it seemed like as we got closer to the year, making the tournament was more and more of an expectation. On paper, this probably is not a tournament team. But in my mind, the fact that football was so bad really pushed people towards basketball and yearning for a good season with head coach Jim Boeheim in his 44th year.
Well, here's my question.
They're not that good.
Isn't a Jim Boeheim-led Syracuse basketball team, isn't the expectation there always to make the tournament?
When was this team ever good?
I didn't have
so
high expectations
slam
for
the
this
panic
team.
Button. When was the panic button not slammed? This team has never been that good. For some reason, this hype started to build before Virginia that they could compete with the top 10 team in the country with three freshmen playing significant minutes.
I never thought this team was going to be as good as last year, but I think if you have a Jim Boeheim Syracuse team, I think the expectation is always to make the NCAA tournament.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But he said before, this team is going to take some time. Now, he hasn't really taken credit for this bad start, but he has pushed back the date and says 15 to 20 games, like you mentioned. I think the bottom line is, and Coach said as much, this team's just not good. If you look on the floor, and now he will say right now, and to remove that right now tag is up to people like us and the fans that watch the games, I'm going to keep it on and say right now they're not very good. Nothing they do is good. There's a lot more negatives than positives. You said you think it's going to turn.
I think they can turn the corner.
What have you seen makes you think that?
Here is my thing. I know going into the season, there was that overhyped expectation. But when you look at the pieces, I assumed Gary would be better. I thought he would be a bigger contributor.
But hasn't he been okay?
He started to show flashes.
I think Gary has been a bright spot.
He started to show flashes of what I think I expected him to be. So that is something that I can figure out. My question is, and I know I just strayed from your question immediately. I'll get back to that. The freshmen, I just feel like, had such high expectations. And Gerard had his moments, and then he's kind of fallen back into what a lot of people anticipated he could be. Goodine was supposed to be this unbelievable guard. Guerrier was supposed to be the exact reincarnation of O'Shea Brissett, and he has not quite been there. There just hasn't been what I expected. I think people will figure things out. I don't think you can expect Gerard and Boeheim to be consistently shooting as poorly as they are. So when that starts to figure itself out, I think this team will be a little bit more competitive. I don't expect them to struggle defensively as much as they have, which is something that even in the worst of Jim Boeheim teams, it seems like the defense has always been what you expect, and that is holding teams to lower than season averages, and that hasn't been the case. Syracuse has gotten torched. They've been scored on pretty heavy-handedly in the last three games, and teams have basically had their way basically by exploiting the flaw in the zone, and that is that inside-out play right at the top of the key. And that's what Iowa did last night. They scored 23 points off of just a simple entry pass to the top of the key or a couple of dribble drives in a dish. 23 points off of that. 20 points from just a straight pass inside the zone into the short corner. They're scoring over two-thirds of their points simply based on just going inside. And that is something that Syracuse has always struggled with the zone. And they're going to need to figure that out.
My counter
to
that.
I guess the more I talk, the less I think they can turn the corner.
Have you said the R word yet? Rebounding?
No.
They can't do
that.
That
is the problem. To me, the defense isn't that much of a problem. The defense is okay. The 2-3 zone's always going to figure itself out. But the rebounding there, I don't know if that changes. I'm really not sure. Because at the guard spot, Girard, who was a good rebounder, at least to start the year, has kind of faded. Now let's talk about Girard a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Because like you said, Girard and Boeheim, at some point they're going to start making their shots. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree that they're going to be better than they were in that game against Iowa. I think we can agree. So once that happens, then what? Because that's going to turn. What else do we need to see change? Right now, nationally, this team is getting no love at all. Seth Greenberg last night, friend of the program, says that he's concerned and that SU is offensively challenged. That's what he said.
Yeah.
To be frank.
Yeah.
And he's not wrong.
To be polite. And they are. And I think even if they are making those shots, you're all relying on Joe Girard or Buddy Boeheim to explode. And if they don't, you're not going to win.
I think the defense has been okay. I don't think the defense is the issue. I agree. I mean, Iowa came into this game averaging 81 points a game, and they put up 68.
Yeah.
So the defense was okay. But the biggest concern for me, I've got two. Number one is that I don't think the expectation coming into this year was that Joe Girard was going to be the starting point guard. He got thrown into this position because of the injury to Jalen Carey, and frankly, Carey wasn't playing that well to
begin
with at the
beginning
of the season.
Now, wait a minute, though. He's supposed to be ready for this. Coach Boeheim says he is ready for this. He carried the team at Glens Falls his whole career.
Right. He carried the team at Glens Falls his whole career. From somebody who grew up in the 5-1-8, that is not the most competitive basketball out there.
Hard to deny that.
That's not the most competitive basketball out there. I came into this season with the expectation that Joe Girard would be a nice spark plug option off the bench. And now he's being asked to lead this basketball
team
at
the point
guard position.
That's all this is. It really drives me crazy because after Seattle, he's the next Jerry McNamara. And now he's the worst player and he's not ready for this and that. You know, or Buddy, they should have brought Jimmy instead of Buddy. I mean, it's the same old crap. Every time this stuff happens, the team gets really good, no matter who they're playing, and people go crazy.
Right.
They lose to three solid teams. Now, it has been, I'd say they've been dominated by three solid teams. Yeah. Then now people are jumping ship. And maybe they should, but it's just like, here we are again, guys. The same can be said for football. At the end of last year, the end of this year, you know, in basketball, there's more games, so you have more ebbs and flows. It's the same old crap.
And just to go back, you said Boeheim says 15 to 20 games. Babers says 5 or 6 games. They both write off over half the season. That is a lot of basketball. And that's a huge time frame to be given to learn the ways. But that's what Syracuse needs.
Tough year
they
for that, too.
They just need time.
This schedule is hard.
Yeah.
It's a very hard
schedule.
It's
a very tough time for Syracuse to have.
It's really hard.
It's one of its toughest non-conference slates that they've had recently.
And you can say that for the SU women's basketball team, too. Without Tiana this year, they're going through those growing pains. Mm-hmm. They face a really tough schedule. Trying to learn life without Tiana running the point. Heck, this week, tomorrow night, they've got another top 25 team in Michigan. So these basketball programs are struggling, and the schedule is not easy. Yeah. So SU has two games where they at least have to split. They really would like to win both, and then you've got Oakland, North Florida, and Niagara. Who's to say that you're not upset in one of those? That would really, really would hurt.
Like
you.
An Old Dominion
sure,
last year.
I mean,
that would be the damper.
Like, you know, this is not a good situation.
Now, Jonathan, my question to you, what can they do to turn things around? Is there something, and whether that's the quick fix, quote-unquote, or whether it's just something that this is the key to them turning things around. What do you see it?
Follow up to that. Is there something to turn around, or is this just kind of be kind of going to be what it is?
That was going to be sort of my answer, and it sounds like a cop-out. What has Syracuse done in the past to turn things around? If you think about the in-game adjustments, they go to the press, and the press has worked. Coach Boeheim says the press doesn't work this year.
Yeah.
Okay? He says they need 15 to 20 games. The press doesn't work. Elijah's not at his best. Joe and Buddy aren't making shots. You notice a trend here? That's a lot of negatives, and I'm not sure if those things turn around. True. Can you magically get better at running the press? I don't know. And now let's talk about the freshman. He seems to be pretty high on Quincy. Bryson, he basically says, is lost. He says, yeah, I'm not sure what Goodine is doing out there. That's what he says.
He hasn't looked good.
No.
Howard Washington looked better than Goodine. Maybe
right.
Howard Washington was the best point guard on the floor, albeit garbage minutes. He scored and was productive, picked up a steal. He looked solid. Maybe we see more of him.
Yeah.
If you're going to talk like this about Bryson, maybe you go with Washington. I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you fix this? The shots must start going down, and the team has to start having fun again. And those two things are not mutually exclusive. I think you have to get good ball movement like we thought, like we saw in Bucknell. Get back to that. Prove to this young team they can do it against good competition, and then hope that somehow they catch fire.
You've got a five-game stretch here with Georgia Tech, Georgetown, Oakland, North Florida, and Niagara. Those are five winnable basketball games. And I think
they won't win all five.
I don't think they'll win all five, but
if
they're games
did,
that the team should be
news.
In.
Yeah.
They're games that the team should be at least competitive in.
If this team's 10-5 at the end of that stretch, then maybe we can say they've turned it around.
That's best case scenario.
Think you've got to be hoping that they can get out of this 4-1.
Your math's wrong again.
Am I?
Yeah.
It would be 9-4.
It'd be 9-4.
9-4. Gosh, I'm struggling. 9-4. Out of that stretch, I think you're really pleased, and you're in the maybe they've turned it around stage.
Oh, yes. You're overjoyed with the hope that the team has come together before ACC play.
And that would
be, you've got to be
traditional ACC.
That would be massive for the confidence of a young team.
But I do think you're okay with 4-1.
You are.
And 4-1 is something that you can get over.
3-2.
4-1 you can get over. If you drop two games, if you lose multiple games in this stretch, then it might be time to start
writing off. 2-3, you're done. You're done.
Yeah, season over. Just stop.
It's got to be at least 4-1.
2-3, you're done.
Jonathan, closing thoughts before we get out of here?
You know, football is ended on a high after a rough season. There's not a ton of reasons to be optimistic about the future in terms of a disruption standpoint as to where we thought they would be this time last year and where they would be around this time this year. You got to go slow and make the goal to make a bowl every year. And you want to be in the postseason. That's all that matters in college football, playing in a bowl game. Over 500, that needs to be the goal. That's realistic and attainable. Basketball, they're just not very good. That's it.
And you could say the goal for this season, just like the goal for next season in football, is to just make the tournament. If you get in the tournament, anything can happen.
It's really hard to see them in the tournament right now.
I think it's a very successful year if you make the tournament.
If they make
the
tournament, I think Boeheim kind of gets that little weight off his shoulders. People can stop pressing that for a second and just kind of say, you know what, this was a tough team, not really a good team, but they were able to get some stuff done. Will they be able to? I have no
idea. Man, it's tough to see it.
I have no idea.
It is really tough to see it.
It's going
to
be a tough season.
But that's why they play the games, and that's how sports goes. Maybe they go 5-0, they beat Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, and you've won 7 straight ahead of Virginia, and you're feeling good again. That's just how this thing works, right?
I'll leave it with this, and I hate to write off an entire basketball season 8 games in, but for those of you who aren't big fans yet, start taking a look at Syracuse lacrosse. This is a darn good lacrosse team.
Schedule
they're going to come in
today.
Top 5 in the country. And they're going to make some noise. This could be your first national championship team in a decade plus. It's going to be some
fun. Oh, boy.
Oh, here come the expectations again.
It's going to be fun.
In the past 5 years. Oh, wait, I've heard it every year.
No, this is the team.
Good luck, friends.
This is the team.
Well, we're shifting the expectations from football to basketball. Now the expectations, for Owen at least, seemingly shift from basketball to lacrosse. A 5-game stretch of winnable basketball games for Syracuse coming up. First one at Georgia Tech this Saturday. Tip-off set for 12 o'clock. WAER will get you started at 11:30 with Countdown to Tip-Off. For Jonathan Hoppe and Owen Valentine, I'm Brendan Mortensen. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.